Okay. I'll let you know what I'm going to do. And then I'll read something and do it. I'll give you a little introduction that, okay, first some prayers. Om Gyanatimirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, it was the Chiradahi festival, the Panihati festival. Many of you know that I actually had that festival for many, many years. And then I no longer needed to do it. I was doing it when there was nothing for people to do. Fortunately, ISKCON is burgeoning and there's so many festivals and I don't have to independently make one. But it was actually a glorious festival. If you remember, one year we Radhanath Swami, Sachinandana Swami, Indradumna Swami, Bibi Govinda Swami, Varsana Maharaj. They were quite amazing festivals. And even though we do it by invitation, we'd have like 250 people. We had the estate of Madan Mohan's father. And there was many reasons why I did that festival. It just the festival intrigued me. Because, and it was very significant because the festival shows how one can overcome obstacles in spiritual life. And what is an obstacle in spiritual life? Everyone has an obstacle in spiritual life because we're at one step and we have to go to the next step. And generally, also, the next step almost always seems insurmountable. So, and therefore, we to go beyond what we feel our capabilities are, we need mercy. The definition of mercy is you don't deserve. And that's the path of bhakti. The path of bhakti is the path of grace. Because yeah, even when you talk about classic yoga, when you meditate on mantra, rather than just some prop or some object, you have the advantage that the object of your meditation is not just a prop, it's a person, it's the supreme person who can reciprocate with your effort to allow you to achieve your goals beyond your own capability. Therefore, bhakti is called the path of grace. In the Chatur Shloki Bhagavad Gita, that's so nicely expressed. Tesham Satyuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Twam Yena Mam. One who worship me, faith and devotion. I give them the Dadami Buddhi Yogam. I give. That's also saw in this the story of Narada Muni, where he followed his guru's order and he went into meditation and he got Saksha Darshan. He did the same thing. And he wasn't successful because Krishna disappeared from him. He got Saksha Darshan, and wow, what that must be like. Because to see God is to feel God, and to feel God is love of God, and love of God is the highest goal of life. So to actually feel that, he felt that, he saw that. And he wanted it again. And that's what faith means. We trust that this is the highest thing and we want it. And he did the same thing, but it didn't work. Because it's not just dependent on our own effort. It has to be given. It's the whole point of bhakti. Yesterday, actually, it was very nice. I gave a Zoom conference to about 90 people from this bhakti sangha in Russia. And they wanted me to speak about Vaishnav care. So I talked about the first principle of Vaishnav care is that you're responsible. You take responsibility. You know, who do we care for? Those who are under our care. And we have responsibility. So the first principle is being responsible. And the example of that is I gave was Shivananda Sena, who the dog joined his traveling party that he was organizing for the devotees of Bengal to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then the dog disappeared because his servant forgot to feed him. He couldn't sleep at night. He didn't shift the blame. He empowered his servant for the service, but he kept the responsibility himself. With that sense of responsibility, that is the essence of Vaishnav care. I'm a little bit off track of where I was going. I'm going to get back to it, but I'm going to a particular thought, and I'll also share that with you. I also shared the story when I was in Dallas at the Gurukul, and then Prabhupada called all the teachers in. And he said, you call yourself teachers. Now, what is the purpose of education? And people gave wonderful answers, but Prabhupada wasn't satisfied until he gave his own answer. Guru nasasyat swajanin nasasyat pitanasat. I forgot. Guru nasasyat. Anyway, do not take a wife. Don't take, you know, head of a government. How relevant this is today. Don't become a guru unless you can be responsible for that person's liberation. Anyway, so we used to celebrate that festival, the Chiradahi Mahotsava. Some of you were there. It gave the key to removing obstacles. And I was discussing about that, the obstacles and how you need, Now I remember. So in that story of the dog, and then Shivananda Sena's angst that he wasn't able to give shelter to that dog, and the dog. And then when he got to Puri and he saw the dog with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Chaitanya was throwing the dog coconut pulp. And then the dog was barking in a kind of a Hari Bo type tune. And then the next day they understood the dog went back to Godhead. I repeated this point so many times. Borjan's commentary on that. You should act in such a way that the heart of a Vaishnav melts because then everything comes out. So that's where bhakti comes from. It comes from a relationship with a Vaishnava and a mood of humility and dependence that touches the Vaishnava's heart and opens that heart, which is called anugraha or mercy or shelter. And that's the essence. So this story actually will show and demonstrate how to remove obstacles in devotional service. So I'm going to start with the first verse. Those of you who like to follow along, it's Anjalila chapter 6, text 1. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kripa Gunaya Kugriha Nakupad Andritta Bhangya Raghunath Tadasam Nasya Sarupe Vidadher Tanangam Sri Krishna Chaitanyam Amum Papadye. With the ropes of his causeless mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu employed a trick to deliver Raghunath Das Goswami from the blind well of contemptible family life. He made Raghunath Das Goswami one of his personal associates, placing him under the charge of Sri Damodar. I offer my obeisances to him. I gave a little commentary on this verse, so I'm going to read it. There's no commentary that Prabhupada wrote. And in this book I was writing, which I'm continuing, Lessons from CC. So to perfect spiritual life, one must become detached from family life. In the introductory verse to the chapter, Srila Krishna Das Goswami gives a strong warning about the danger of becoming overly attached to family life. And that's the verse I read. Comment. In this verse, entanglement in family life is called kugriha, contemptible, and under kupat, a blind well. Entanglement in family life is condemned for its tendency to foster the illusion that a relationship in this world based on bodily identification is our eternal identity. Although the story of Raghunath Das will make this point strongly, it is not just condemning the grihastha ashram, which invokes detachment when properly followed, but the tendency in any ashram to not move forward in spiritual life due to material attachment when a higher level of commitment is beckoning. So I wanted to make that clear. So this story also is very interesting too, because it's at the beginning of the Antyalila, the chapter 6, which goes into the highest subjects of Krishna consciousness. So the first stories that are mentioned are giving you the indication of what you need to go there, because these are not things that you can just jump into without the adhikari or qualification. Because if your heart is not sufficiently purified, you will hear and see those things as mundane. And if you don't have a sufficient grasp of knowledge, a tendency will to project something like mundane on them. So it's interesting how this story begins, because Raghunath Das Goswami will be the Priyojana Acharya. And I've explained many times what Priyojana means. There's three basic aspects of philosophy in Krishna consciousness, Sambandha. I would call it metaphysics, a contiguous description of reality. Abhideya Tattva, the means to realize reality. And Priyojana Tattva, the experience of doing so. That's the goal. The goal is to experience reality, because reality is Krishna's energies, and we have a relationship with Krishna. So the Priyojana is to not only understand God and see God, but to feel God in terms of our relationship with God. So he becomes the Priyojana Acharya because of his practice in spiritual life and his meditation and his heart. He actually shows us what is the goal, because he was experiencing that. He was experiencing that, and he was expressing that. Prema Pumartha Mahan, that the greatest wealth is Prema Bhakti. So it's very interesting, because it's going to show that at the beginning of the story, and then go back. Because the story begins, it doesn't begin with Raghunath Das Goswami. It begins with Lord Chaitanya in the Gambhira. And it shows him experiencing Prema Bhakti. And it shows him in the Gambhira, showing us the practice of Raghunuga Bhakti. He's chanting the holy name because he wants to feel the holy name. Because the holy name is Krishna. So the goal is to feel the holy name, which means to feel our relationship with Krishna. And Krishna comes in terms of the holy name. But to feel our relationship with Krishna, we have to meditate on Krishna. We have to focus our mind on Krishna. And that has to be without interruption. That has to be with concentration. That has to be without any break. It has to be on the right mood. So the way to do that is to develop sambandha, or your relationship with Krishna, which comes, and I described this many times, in Lord Chaitanya, the form of the Lord whose name you're chanting. He was worshiping Jagannath, Krishna, and the other stories and songs of the person whose name you're chanting. He's hearing basically the singing of Sarup Damodar and the deep devotion of Sarup Damodar, and hearing the narrations of Krishna's pastimes by Ramananda Roy. And this way, he was experiencing these, and it was increasing. He came to experience this. This is the Antyalila. And what's the Antyalila? Krishna wants to experience the love of his topmost devotee at the height of his love. So we're seeing this. We're brought right into the Gambhira. The Gambhira is where he was practicing at the last 18 years of his life, especially the last 12 years of his life. And we learn so many things from these stories. You know, the emotions were very, very powerful. And he was crying and he was in pain. Pain in separation of Krishna, which is a special type of pain. It's pain, but it's also ecstasy. And we sometimes can have this in a certain thing, in feeling low or feeling down or feeling, and you know, taking shelter of Krishna has so much more meaning and so much more feeling. Maybe we can have a little bit of this non-dual experience of distress, not like that, not the level of distress and not the level of ecstasy, but somehow or other a glimpse of this realization that in our moments of need, our moments of realization of the separation from Krishna and our fallen nature, in those moments of pain, we may have a taste of hankering for Krishna. But the thing about Lord Chaitanya is, and I love this point, and I sometimes talk about my pet peeves. Pet peeves means a particular thing that annoys you that may not annoy another person in a similar circumstance. I don't like when people are not considerate, when they don't think of others. It annoys me. And so Lord Chaitanya, when the people were, during the day, he wouldn't express himself. But at night when he was alone, he would exhibit the pain and he'd begin to cry. And so we're focused in. It's almost like, a transcendental, timeless Google Maps. We're just like focus in to Puri and Gambhira and the Lord Chaitanya in his ecstasy, developing his sambandha, his experience of the holy name. And then we're brought back to Raghunath Das Goswami. And it's no coincidence that this is done, because this shows what his goal is and where he's going to wind up. not just in consciousness, but actually he would be there. So, and then we begin the story of Raghunath Das, and we have this story of this young person who is extremely attractive. How we doing? Okay, good. Who's extremely attractive person. If you can think of a person that's just so sweet, so attractive, handsome, intelligent, humble, and his parents loved him more than their own life. And his parents are very special people. They weren't ordinary Vaishnavas. They were very wealthy. But what they did, because they were under the rule of the Mughals, so that the Vaishnavas can worship Krishna, basically, they bought, bribed, made a deal with Husain Singh Shah, that they would pay the rent for a particular district of West Bengal where the Vaishnavas could congregate and be free more than other places. So all these Vaishnavas, as he was going to his house, all these Vaishnavas would be coming there. And when he was young, Haridas Thakur, his family was kind of sponsoring him nearby, and he would go and he would sit with Haridas Thakur. And when he was sitting with Haridas Thakur and sometimes getting instructions, in that innocent way, his heart was open to Haridas Thakur, and that Bhav came. It was transferred, that attachment to Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was desperate and he wanted to go, and he actually ran away and he went to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya sent him back. He sent him back because renunciation can't be done out of frustration. It can't be done out of frustration or ego. It has to be done in bhakti out of love. And therefore, renunciation should always be tested. And in the beginning of the movement, it wasn't tested. And people came before they were qualified or came before. It may be for the wrong reasons, you know. And so Lord Chaitanya, is the Acharyas, he's setting example. Push back on people's renunciation. Let them come forward. And because we have to understand, and this is also a point that's going to be made, that renunciation is not bhakti. It can facilitate bhakti. It may come as a result of bhakti. But that's not our standard of advancement. Otherwise, there's great Mayavadi renunciates. And, you know, they would be considered, you know, advanced devotees, but they're not. It's just a way to serve. So that had to be tested. And it should always be tested. Actually, brahmachari should be trained, practically speaking, for the grihastha ashram, because that's where they're going to end. And that is the training. But those who want to stay should be tested. They shouldn't be pushed in that direction. They should push themselves in that direction. And if you need any proof of that, look at the history of the Krishna consciousness movement. If I can think of anybody who's still a brahmachari from the time I'm preaching in America, I can think of three or four people out of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. So Lord Chaitanya sent them back home. Lord Chaitanya sent them back home. And he also wanted to show, because he was very expert, and his family had problems, his uncle, you know, when you deal in business, you know, tendency is people, when they deal in business, is to see others people money as their own. There was some conflict. His uncle was in trouble, and very diplomatically he dealt with the situation. So he wasn't going to leave. If he was going to go to take renunciation, it wasn't going to be because he was a loser in life. He was quite capable of being successful. I think you should stand up because you're getting a little tired. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So anyway, we have this scene of this incredibly capable person who was born in the richest family, had all opportunity to get the accoutrements of power, every accoutrement of power, from being very handsome to being very wealthy to having a wife more beautiful than the goddess of fortune to having wealth greater than Indra. But still, this was so real, but it was tested by Lord Chaitanya for many reasons, and we're going to explain that. So He would complain to his parents. He was like a depressed youth. You know, he was a depressed youth. You know, I want to you know, I want to go to Lord Chaitanya. I want to go to Lord Chaitanya. You know, if you love me, why won't you do what you want? Why won't you try to please me? And a lot of us had that experience in Krishna consciousness, especially initially when we're going to it. You know, our parents loved us, but they wouldn't let us do what we want. Of course, they thought maybe it was harmful or something, and things like that. So that tension was there. And, you know, he had this strong, strong desire. Faith moves you forward, and that was his faith. He had taste in the holy name, and he got that from association from Haridas Thakur, and that became his goal. I think there's a verse in the Bhagavatam just as a materialistic man, but I forgot that verse. But so that was his strong force of his faith, and you know, I think it's a very practical point for us. You know, we have to move forward in Krishna consciousness, and what's going to move us forward to meet the obstacles of our samskaras and our mind and everything that's telling us to do something else. You know, because ultimately bhakti is our desire. We have to have a strong desire. That's the qualification is lobha or greed, that we want something so much. So as the story goes, Lord Chaitanya, he hears that Lord Nityananda is nearby. He hears that Lord Nityananda is nearby, so he requests his father, "Can I see Lord Nityananda?" So his father had so much money and had guards that were constantly watching Raghunath Das, so he wouldn't run away. So he thought, "Well, Lord Nityananda is coming there, nearby in Saptagram and Panihati, by the river. Okay, you know, let my son go. I'll send some guards." So he goes to see Lord Nityananda. And then it's very interesting. His character is, and you see this with great Vaishnavas, They don't have a material standard of prestige. So they don't think much that they're the richest person or they're the most famous person. One of my godbrothers impresses me like that. His name is Javi Das. He's in Venezuela in South America. He has 2 Latin Grammy Awards. He was the Bob Dylan of Venezuela. He was just so famous. I showed me a video of his concerts and pack halls. And you know, one time I remember, I think it was Jayed Waitemaraj who was with him. And he was putting him on a bus. And he was carrying Jayed Waitemaraj's suitcase. And, you know, and it's, you know, there's a lot of, I guess, Latinos in Miami or it was Fort Lauderdale. And the bus driver said, Elon Chester. Are you Elon Chester? I even had that experience at this Pumpkin Hollow when I was doing a fed. They have volunteers and they had somebody from Venezuela. And I said, do you know Elon Chester? The guy went, my heart, he's in my heart. But I know we're in Govardhan, you know, and we're taking prasadam, and sometimes for the senior devotees, they said, you just see him sitting on the other side. So the devotee, he doesn't judge the status so much by his material position. So he's lurking on the outside. He doesn't rush into the Vaishnava assembly and put himself in the center, taking that upadhi of power and control from his aristocracy and his family and his wealth. Radhanath Swami used to tell a story that he liked at one of his festivals they used to have in Pune. I went once. And the person who sponsored it was one of the wealthiest families in India, Muffatlal, I think his name. Rishikesh Muffatlal, I forgot his name. Now his name is, anyway. And, you know, they were dancing here. And Radhanath Swami looked out and he was dancing with his driver in the center, you know, equal, like in the front, dancing in a circle with his driver, who is also a Vaishnava. So Raghunath Das Goswami was in the back. And then naturally people said, there's Raghunath. I remember one time I was in Vrindavan, Mangal Arti, or one of the artiques, and at that time, you know, the temple was maybe 15, 20, 30 people in the temple. You can't imagine. Weren't that many people in Vrindavan at that time. And then I look back, and there was Prabhupada's godbrother, Akinchana, Paramahamsa Akinchana, Krishnadas Babaji, by Prabhupada praying, and then someone said, there's Krishnadas Babaji, and then, shoop, he gone. You know. Another time, Krishnadas Babaji, he would go from Gaudiya Math to Gaudiya Math. This was told to me by a godbrother, Sarvabhavana, who's Bengali. He would go from Gaudiya Math to Gaudiya Math. And a lot of times, you know, institutions, they have value, but they tend to become sectarian or political. It's not to criticize institutions. There's always this element. People who are not so mature will get caught up in this element. So one time, saw him coming from Gaudiya Math to Gaudiya Math, and someone said, oh, he said, you're doing so much. I know you. Everybody thinks you're so advanced. You're doing so much politics, going from here, going to here. And Krishnadas Babaji said, yes, everyone thought I was advanced, but now they know my true nature. Of course, he wasn't doing it. But it's not that movement towards the center that gives value to one's life for power and control. It's the movement to the periphery to put God and the Vaishnavas in the center. That's why this verse was once described, Trinada Pisani Chena. Once you become more tolerant than a tree, humble, more lower than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. And someone described that, if that's the mood of a Vaishnav, he's seeing the trees as his guru, he's seeing the grass as his guru. Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Rakshaka Sridharmaraj, made the comment that the Vaishnava sees everyone as guru. He's living in the land of gurus. He wants to be in the land of gurus. He wants to be in the land of service, seva. So he already had these deep qualities. And therefore, he wanted to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he wanted to serve him and give his life. So Nityananda called him, but first said, "Oh, there's Raghunath." And he called him. He said, "You're a thief." Now, there's two reasons why he called the thief. I got this really good book on the six Goswamis, and you can tell that. Shamlal, some scholar in Vrindavan had Harinam Press, and I got one of his books was translated into English on the six Goswamis. He had such deep insight. So he described, and I think it's really relevant. Well, there's two reasons why he called him a thief. One, in expressing affection, when you do it indirectly, it's more powerful. It's like a candle. When you open the, if it's dark inside, it shines brightly. But if you open it up, you open up the door, it's not so distinguished. And love is like that. If it's indirect, if it's open, it doesn't shine so brightly. So, but why was he calling him a thief? And I think this was so significant. He was calling him a thief because he went to God directly without going to guru. And God is in the heart of it's the property of the Vaishnavas. It's the property of the guru. And he was trying to take that property without requesting it from guru. And Nityananda is guru tattva. He's Balaram. So he chastised him. You're a thief. You were taking my property. I'm generous. I can give it to you, but you're taking my property without going to me. And then he said, "I will punish you." And what was the punishment? The punishment was that he'd have to feed all the Vaishnavas. And there's a very practical way to do this. And when we would have our Panihati festival, I think Jai Dwaita Maharaj remembered too going there. We had the best flat rice. We had one cook, Brajajana. He was so good. And so everybody got two big clay pots. We would do this. And one was filled with milk and one was filled with yogurt, dahi. One was filled with dudh, and one was filled with dahi. And you can soak flat rice. You don't have to cook it. Therefore, someone is traveling in India on a train, an old sadhu, he just keeps a bag of flat rice. And you can add just a little sugar or something. And then so all it's by the river, and all the people, all the Vaishnavas of Saptagram, everyone is coming from Panihati. Everybody's coming. All the people at the shop, the carts are coming, and Raghunath Das is just buying out all the carts, and bananas and mangoes and all the fruit, and people are mixing it. And there's so many people there that some even are sitting in the river or standing in the river eating. And Raghunath Das Goswami is arranging all this. And then there's a platform where Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya are sitting. And there's two people are there. Nija, Gona, the close associates, and Bhattabharalo, the very, very big people in society. That's why I want to write this book on Guide to Vaishnava Behavior from the CC. And one of the reasons I want to write the book is because there's so many lessons that we don't learn today because, and I have to say, I think I'm very fortunate to have grown up in Krishna consciousness in India and see the culture embodied in people. I've learned so much from seeing how people exchange and develop this atmosphere where bhakti can grow. So Bhattabharalok, the big people. The big people were respected too. Not just those who were advanced in Krishna consciousness. Different people in society represent God. When King George died, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, King George V died, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur commemorated him on the cover of the Harmonist. Even though India was subjugated, but he liked their management and that he allowed the Vaishnavas to flourish. So Raghunath Das fed all the Vaishnavas. This was his punishment. And this was the pleasure of Krishna, the blessings of the Vaishnavas. By serving Vaishnavas, the pleasure of the Vaishnavas, the blessings. And then somehow the obstacle was removed. Because he couldn't escape because all the guards were there. But one day, his guru, Yadunandan Acharya, who was his guru, was his initiating guru. Yadunandan Acharya was his initiating guru. And he but interesting, he was from a very high class family, but he was a disciple of Vasudev Dutta, who was from Kayasta, which wasn't a Brahmin family. He was a great soul, Yadunandan Acharya, and he needed someone to worship the deity. So he woke up Raghunath Das and told him, you know, to worship the deity. This is a little bit of another point that's, and then he ran away. The obstacle was removed by Krishna's grace. His renunciation was tested. And after it was shown that his renunciation wasn't artificial, it wasn't out of frustration, it wasn't because he was a loser, and he had the blessings of Adi Guru Lord Nityananda, then the obstacles were removed. Now, I want to read something too, because in this book I was writing, I really want to explain that point, because his guru told him to worship the deity and then he left. So I actually talked about that because that seems confusing. So I'm going to find that part, if you don't mind. Take me a second. I'm going to read some of the lessons, and then I'll get to that point. Lesson 22, obstacles in spiritual life can best be removed by serving the Vaishnavas. To relieve Lord Raghunath Das's anxiety about the apparent insurmountable obstacles to his attainment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's shelter, Lord Nityananda informs him, "My dear Raghunath Das," he said, "since you arranged the feast on the bank of the Ganges, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to show his mercy. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Gauri came here personally to deliver you. Now rest assured that all the impediments meant for your bondage are gone. He served the Vaishnavas and Lord Chaitanya manifest. Not everybody could see him though. Lesson 27. The ultimate order of a Vaishnav guru is to seek full shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If one makes a decision with that intent, and their decision also practically serves that purpose, one is following the wishes of their teacher, even if that decision entails superseding another of their instructions. So he really internally was following his guru, because that's what guru wants. Guru wants one to take shelter. So I wrote, on his spiritual master's order, Raghunath Das accompanies him to request his guru's, on his spiritual master's order, Raghunath Das accompanies him to request his guru's prajari to resume his service. On the way, Raghunath Das requests his spiritual master to return home and assures him that his order will be carried out, but instead immediately leaves to join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Puri. Quote, you may go home without anxiety. Following your order, I shall persuade the Brahmin. On this plea, after taking permission, Raghunath decided to go away. Anjali Lila 6, 169. Comment. Only an advanced devotee can make a decision in direct contradiction to the order of their teacher by seeking a higher intention of the spiritual master within that decision. The main principle in spiritual life is to strictly follow the order of the spiritual master. Okay, let me just see what time it is. Okay, we're almost finished for today. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Okay, Chaitanya Priya, you have a question?
I do. The last point you made, could you amplify that a little bit more, that you can disobey?
You can't disobey the order of the spiritual master. That's the point I was making.
Right, but you say in various cases.
I'll explain it. That's why I was reading what I said. I said, because obviously that was his initiating spiritual master. And he said, you know, wake up the Pajari. And he said, I'll go there. And he didn't go there. So what I said, only an advanced devotee can make a decision in contradiction to the order of their teacher by seeing a higher intention of the spiritual master within that decision. So the highest intention was to take full shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not like an ordinary thing. He wasn't doing it because he was lazy or he didn't have faith in his spiritual master, but he understood that this was arranged by Lord Nityananda to remove his obstacles. His spiritual master was a vehicle for that. So the comment I made, the main principle is to strictly follow the order of the spiritual master. That's an exception. And it's exception on the highest principle. That this was the opportunity to directly go and serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, thank you. Okay, anybody else like to ask a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Hi, Bo Gail. Okay, what is your question? And because people won't hear it that are watching the live stream, I'll repeat it. Yeah.
Okay, so when you say that we should chant with prolonged absorption in the proper mood, Can you elaborate?
Okay.
Can you elaborate on what that mood is? That mood. Describe the mood, please.
Okay. I said we should chant prolonged in the proper mood. In the proper mood. The proper mood is taking shelter of Krishna and respecting Krishna and loving Krishna and praying to Krishna and giving ourselves fully to Krishna and offering the holy name in service and prayer and service. Not that, you know, we're doing this just to focus our mind and control our mind and perfect ourselves in yoga in that way. But no, it's, can you just see, look there. I don't know if you know what it looks like, the Yoga Sutras. It's kind of a brown cover book. I'll read exactly what that is because this is mentioned in, you see it? Okay, hey, give it to me. I'll read exactly what that means, okay? I'll read exactly what that means. Okay, 1 second. Wow. Whoa. 1 second. Okay, here. The Yoga Sutras, it says, Gail, can you make less noise?
Okay, I'll mute my phone.
Okay. Or this previously mentioned state is attainable from devotion to the Lord. And let me see what it says here. It says, because it says the mood is pranidhana, dedication or devotion. Says devotion to God, according to Vyas, he's a commentary, involves a particular type of devotion, bhakti vishesh. Simply by the yogi's longing, God bestows his grace upon the yogi. His longing for service, that's the mood, that's the consciousness. When this happens, the fruit of samadhi becomes quickly available. As Ramananda Saraswati puts it, God turns towards the devotee, towards the yogi, as a result of such devotion, and says, let this that he desires be his. Vachaspati Mistra considers such special devotion to consider submission to the Lord. Hariharananda described this state as feeling the existence of God in the innermost core of the heart and considering everything to be done by the Lord. Okay. Meditating, Vigyan Bhikshu says that meditating on the Lord with love. So, I mean, it's just basically that mood. Longing for service. That's the right mood. Longing for service. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Toto Gopinath here. Happy Father's Day.
Oh, is that Father's Day? Thank you. Hare Bahu. Thank you, Toto Gopinath. I didn't know. Okay, anybody else say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Lee.
Okay, Lee, thanks. Who else?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Maharaj. Janine.
Janine, I heard. Who else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, Govardhan Bhakta.
Govardhan Bhakta. Okay.
Hi, Krishna Guru Maharaj. This is Kishori Radha.
Is Priya there?
She's on the phone at home. I'm in the car.
What? What's that?
Priya, say hi.
Hi.
Say Hare Krishna.
Okay.
I'm not in the car. She's at home.
Okay, I got Priya's there. Okay. Who else?
Remember,
anybody
the Panihati Festival used to be so nice.
It was. Maybe we'll have another one. We can have it in New Jersey.
I would
Why
love
not?
That.
Okay, yeah. We'll have it in next year. We'll have it in New Jersey. Okay. Anybody
Sounds
else?
Sounds great.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Shirupa.
Shirupa, Hare Bo. That's great.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Virginia and Gloria.
Gloria, Hare Krishna. Good. Wonderful. Good.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Shri Gandharvika.
Thank you, Hare Bo. Great. Okay. It's such a nice, tight sangha. It's great. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Gopa Kishore.
Gopa, Hare Bo. Good.
Hare Bo.
All right. A few more and then we'll go. I do this because it creates something personal. That there's like a community that are listening. Anybody else? And not everybody says hello. That's on. That's okay. Okay, we'll end now then. Vanchakopa to Rubyas Chakra Pasinda David.